yours for the asking. Yours for the asking. Please bow your head as we pray. Father, we want to thank you because today we know you have a message for us. And we ask, Father, that you open our hearts to receive. Help us, Lord, that none of us should be distracted by what is going on around us. Help us to focus on you. Thank you for where you have brought us as a church. Thank you for where you are taking us. Thank you because, Lord, the conference has not seen anything yet. The world has not even noticed what you are going to do with this congregation. And Father, we bless you because you are faithful to the letter. So today we open our hearts to receive. Feed us and let none go home hungry. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Yes, for the asking. Our scripture reading is taken from Luke chapter 11 verse 13. Luke 11:13. And funnily, if you look at how the Spirit of God works, Sister Kenny and myself, we never had any discussion, but she has actually captured my message. So I don't need to even speak for so long today. Luke 11:13, guess what it says? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You know, it was David Yabor that tells the story of one of Mark Lucado's book of a lady who had a small house on the seashore of Highland at the turn of the century, and she was quite wealthy, but also she was a very frugal lady. And the people were surprised then when she decided to be among the first to have electricity in their home. So several weeks after the installation had been done, a meter reader appeared at our door, and he asked if our electricity was working very well. So this lady assured the meter reader that the electricity was working perfectly. And then the man asked her, I'm wondering then, if you can explain to me, this man said, your meter shows scarcely any usage. Are you using any power? Certainly, the woman replied, shaking her head. Every evening when the sun sets, I turn on my light just enough to light my candles, and then I turn it off again. Yabo goes on to say, she tapped into the power, but she never used the power. Her house was connected, but never altered. Follow me, church. And don't we make the same mistakes many times as regards the Holy Spirit of God that has been given unto us? We too, like this lady, our souls are saved, but our hearts are unchanged. We are connected to the power source, but we are never altered. We tap in just enough to put on our humanity, and then we go back being the same. We occasionally flip the switch. Maybe like when we have the whole night prayer. But most of the time in our lives, we live in the shadows of what the Spirit can do. So today I'm speaking to you, and I want to assure you that the Holy Spirit is yours for the asking. The first thing I want you to know is that every one of us in this place will need the Holy Spirit. So tell your neighbor with assurance, I mean, you need the Spirit. Please, don't say it with nicety. Point in their face and say, you need the Spirit. You know, how do I know that we all need the Spirit? To the church leader, Nicodemus, Jesus says in John 3:5, I tell you you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and of the Spirit. So is there someone hoping to get into the kingdom of God here? Then you need to be born again of water and of the Spirit. So do you get it? No one can enter into the kingdom without being born of the Spirit. You can sit in church for 40 years. If you are not born of the Spirit, you ain't going anywhere. How do I know that we need the Spirit? Well, I want you to know today that the absence of the Holy Spirit makes preaching powerless. The absence of the Spirit makes singing lifeless. The absence of the Spirit makes Christians careless and carefree. The absence of the Spirit makes religion useless. The absence of the Spirit makes living hopeless. So if there's someone who is here today and you want some power in your spiritual life, then you need the Spirit. If you're here and you want to do some worship and you want some life in your worship, then you need the Spirit. If you are a Christian and you want to be bubbling for God, you don't want to get careless and floppy, then you need the Spirit. If you are living and you don't want to live hopelessly, then you need the Spirit of God. Second thing I want you to know is that the Holy Spirit is a gift from God. There is someone with me today. I want you to know that there is a difference between a reward and a gift. A reward is a payment for something good that you have done of your own. But a gift is not based on merit. It is not based on what you have done, but simply because the giver loves to give. How come then that, let me speak to the adults now, there are times you have a spouse and we demand a gift on our birthday. Is that a gift? It becomes more like a reward. And a gift is something that is not based on what you have done or how good you have been. A gift comes from the heart of the giver. Now I'm saying to you today that the Holy Spirit is a gift from God. I want you to know that the gift of the Holy Spirit is not based on a reward for being holy or being righteous. You stand with me today. The gift of the Holy Spirit is given to us as Christians so that we can live holy and righteous lives. God desires to give to all believers the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not because you attend all the services in church. Not because you serve on the church board. It's not because you return a faithful tithe every month. Hello, someone. It's not because you're always giving a generous offering. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is not given because you dress up in your pretty dresses or you wear a coat and tie when you are coming to church. Hello, someone. The Holy Spirit is not given because you have spent 20 years at the Adventist or because you know the church manual from front to back or back to front. No! It's not because you look good or because you are good looking. The Holy Spirit is not given because you are educated or the most educated or the most privileged in the congregation. The Holy Spirit is not given because you have the highest paying job amongst the brethren. No, the Holy Spirit, I want you to understand tonight that the Holy Spirit is given because the Father is a giver. Amen. May somebody miss that. God just loves to give. And that is why people like you and myself, we can receive freely the gift of the Holy Spirit. How do I know this? Because my Bible tells me that to the church leader, Nicodemus, Sabbath keeper, tithe giver, church goer, an elder, or a Sabbath school teacher, Jesus said, you must be born again of water and of the Spirit. Well, except a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. How do I know that the Holy Spirit is freely given because the Father is the giver? Because to the woman at Jacob's well, this woman with a messed up past, the woman who was a sinner, who has a dirty past, no caste in the society, perhaps uneducated, with a limited knowledge of God, Jesus says to her, yet the time is coming. And has now come when the true worshippers of God must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For God is spirit, and they that must worship him in spirit and in truth. How do I know that the Holy Spirit is freely given by the Father? Because to his disciples at the end of his ministry, including the doubter, Thomas, the impetuous and foul-mouthed Peter, the hot-tempered John and James Zebedee, the sons of thunder, Jesus in Acts 1 verse 8 said, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me both in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So you see, my friend, it's not a matter of who you are, or what you have done, or where you have been, or where you are going. The Spirit is given by God because God is a giver. So I'm sure there's someone in the congregation today and you're asking the question, so what must I do then to receive the Holy Spirit? We can spend a week just talking about receiving the Spirit. But Peter made it very clear in Acts chapter 2 verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to notice the priority here. First, there must come repentance. When you have repented, and you follow Christ into the watery grave of baptism, for the remission of your sin, the Bible says, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It is like a guarantee. It's not you may receive the gift. It is you shall receive the gift. So the Holy Spirit is a gift for everyone who has repented and who have accepted baptism by water. Then they can receive the baptism by the Spirit. How do I receive the Holy Spirit, therefore? In Luke 11, chapter 9 to 13, the Bible says, so I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door shall be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now let me tell you something about this passage. Many times when we quote this passage, we quote it when we want material things. We would like to cite this passage when we are looking for some ephemeral blessings. But really, this passage says, how much more will your Father give what? The Holy Spirit. I want you to see that in the mind of God, receiving the Holy Spirit is the first gift to a child of God. Amen. It is not the blessings. The blessings come after. You see, because in the mind of God, blessings are not something that we ought to be praying and praying and praying for. You follow with me? Yeah. If the truth be told, if you spend all the days of the year just praying, Father, give me the Spirit. Give me the Spirit. I want you to know that you will receive not just the Spirit, you will receive the blessings. Although somebody is there with me today. Because you see, you cannot receive the Spirit of God and not be blessed. I'm going to come to that. So let's get something straight today. There is no magic formula, no secret initiations, and no doubt in the word of God either. The gift of God is freely given, so you can receive. The Spirit is yours for the asking. What can you expect the Spirit of God to do in your life? What is to know that there are some three C's, very important, that Jesus says that the Spirit will do in our life. Three C's. The first one, the Bible says that Jesus says, and I will send you the Comforter. So everyone, please say Comforter. When you receive the Spirit, you receive comfort. Now that's the first work of the Spirit. He is the Comforter. And I wonder if there is anyone in church today who did not need some comfort. The truth is that life throws a lot of things at us. Many times we need to be comforted. We were reading on the internet yesterday about the lady that gave some information about the royal family. You know that story. And you know that she actually committed suicide. Does she not need some comfort? Well, if someone would have comforted her, or if she would have opened her heart to the gift of the Spirit, even at that difficult time, she would have received enough comfort to still be around. Or if one of the family will know God, now that she is gone, oh, how I wish they will receive the comfort of heaven. Many of you don't know the things that we have gone through. Some people have gone through them and they are mad. The things that you and I have gone through, the things we have endured, the things that we have just assimilated, the things that we have internalized, the things that we have coped with, the things that we are still smiling, even though we are going through, some have died, haven't gone through those things. But we thank God because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of comfort. And Jesus also says that when you receive the Holy Spirit, he says, and he will also be your counselor. He will be your counselor. And I wonder if there's someone in the house who do not need some counsel, some good counsel for that matter at one time or the other. Because the truth is the truth be told, we all need to be able to run to someone one time or the other. I bless the Lord for you if in your life you have never had to seek counsel. But the truth is that we need some godly counsel from time to time. And Jesus says that when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, you receive the Spirit of counsel. Do you know that God, when you pray for blessings, material blessings, God will not send pounds. He can send you counsel. Is someone with me? When God says, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, God was not talking about pouring down pounds and pence. But God is saying, I can put some godly counsel that will lead you into financial blessings. Jesus also says, when you receive the Holy Spirit, it will be your connector. Is someone with me today? It will be your connector between the divine and the humane. How do I know that the Bible says that the weak do not know what to pray for, but the Spirit of God maketh intercession with us for us with groanings of the heart that we cannot even understand. He connects the Father to the child. He is the connector. That is why you need the Spirit. Oh, so when you ask, you can expect that the Spirit of God will turn your life around. When you ask for God, you can expect that the Holy Spirit can make you a brand new person. Or when you ask the Father. You can receive the Spirit to convince you of sin and righteousness and judgment. Where the Spirit can counsel, He can guide you into all truth. He can tell you of things to come. He can comfort you. He can live in you and direct your life. He can sanctify you. Oh, He can make your prayer meaningful to the Father. He can make you a powerful witness of the gospel of peace. Do you see why we need the Spirit? But do you realize that many times in our Christian life, we operate without the Spirit? In fact, if you read the part of the Bible, it says, when Israel, when they spent so much time in sin, he said there came a time when you can write a cardboard. The glory had departed. What does that mean? The glory is the Spirit. They have spent so much time in sin that they did not even know when the Spirit had left. Or if you look at the life of Samson also, the Bible says that every time he tells Delilah, this is the source of my power. And then the army will come and then this man will just stretch, break the chain, and then he will kill them. But then he says when he gave the secret away, he did not know that the Spirit had departed. So the Bible says that when the soldiers came again, this man stretched, thinking the Spirit was still within. You see, the story of Samson tells us that the Spirit can depart and you will never know. And you will be operating on reserve. If you don't believe me, look at the story of the 10 virgins. The Bible says that at the time they went to meet the bridegroom, they all had their lamps and there was oil in the lamp. Now follow me. How many virgins had oil in their lamp? All the 10. Now follow me. How many virgins slept? Oh, you are quiet. How many virgins slept? When they woke up, how many virgins woke up? Now, when they saw their lamps, how many virgins were running out of oil? Come on, follow me. Follow me. When they woke up, how many virgins were running out of oil? All of them. But when they checked, how many virgins had reserved?
Five.
That is the difference between the wise and the foolish. It wasn't that they fell asleep, because they all fell asleep. It wasn't that the wise woke up and the foolish did not. No! They all still woke up. They all still realized that we are falling asleep. It wasn't that they were not sincere, because that was why they were there in the first place. The difference was that the wise virgins had oil in reserve. So let me tell you, you may be looking at Brother Hay now, and this happened where Brother Hay is doing it, he's getting away with it. Don't fool yourself. Brother Hay might have his oil in reserve. We are all sleeping now, but Sister B might have reserve. Don't you copy him and follow him into foolishness. Because when she wakes up, you may not have what she has in reserve. The glory had departed. The Spirit had been taken. But I want you to know today that, especially for us as Latter-day Christians, we need the Spirit of God. And the Spirit in hearts for the asking. That is why in Joel chapter 2 verse 28, the Bible says that, and it shall come to pass that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Follow me. The Bible did not say, I will sprinkle my Spirit. It did not say, I will give myself my Spirit. It says, I will pour. When you pour something, it is in abundance. God says, and it shall come to pass, and I will pour out my Spirit, that your sons and daughters may prophesy. I want to tell us that if there is ever a time that we need a word of prophecy in our church, it is now. But the truth is that the church many times we walk blindly toward destruction. We need our sons and our daughters to begin to prophesy that we will know what the will of God is for our future.
Amen.
We need some prophets in the house who will be able to decipher the mind of God and tell us this is what the Lord saith in our situation. Many times we think that prophecy is for the future. At times the future is not in the future. Prophecy can be what will happen to you tomorrow. That's future. Let me tell you a quick story. There was a day when our dad passed away. You know, he had a piece of land in Ibadan, and we have never been able to use it because the man was dubious. Every time he wanted to try and take possession of the land, he would tell us, oh, he sold it to someone. I mean, those were Nigeria, you know what I'm talking about. So one day my younger brother, he's not as gentle, you know, as myself, felt that he was going to go to this man and confront him. You know, but on his way to the man, when he got to, you know, a certain distance, he saw a friend who was driving in another car. This friend got down quickly, flagged them down, and said, I was actually going to your place. So my brother asked, you know, what's the matter? He said, I had a dream. And in that dream, God showed me that you were having a quarrel with a fat man. The man my brother was going to was a very fat man. He was on his way to this man's place. This friend had a dream overnight. I was driving towards that place and said, don't go to that man. You see, the prophecy was not for 5 years' time. The prophecy was for, we need prophets that will call us on Monday morning and say, don't go on the tube today. There is going to be a train crash. We need prophets that will say, please do not travel on Tuesday, though you are planning to. That is why the Bible says, believe your prophets, and so shall you prosper. And I also believe the Bible says that God will not do anything unless he shows it to who? The servants, the prophets. In every house of God, there should be some prophets that will be able to bring the mind of God known to us, that we will not be walking by sight, but by faith. And then say, not just your sons and daughters prophesying, that your old men may dream dreams. Look at it. Young men prophesying, talking about what lies ahead. Old men, that they may dream dreams. You know, many times our dreams are rooted in the past. And we need old, experienced men of God in every house of faith that will tell us, don't do that, it won't work out. We've tried it, it didn't work. Don't walk by sight. Don't lean on the hand of flesh, for the hand of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. That your own men may dream dreams. But not only that, not just visions, not just prophecy and dreams. It says that our young men may see visions. Do you realize that the first one says that our sons and daughters may prophesy? But this one says that our young men, it didn't include daughters or women, that our young men may see visions. In the church, the male race is dying out in churches. We need house of faith that will have men, young men that can see visions.
Amen.
That are visionaries.
Amen.
That are able to use their godly influence to stop the church from derailing. Oh, if God were to just raise some of our young men, we only need two or three in this house of faith, and our church will never be the same again. That being a few visions. So I want to submit to you today that we need the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is yours for the asking. In the next few minutes, I want to pray a special prayer today. If you're here and you want to say, Father, I have taken your Spirit for granted. I want to pray for two sets of people. The first set, I want you to come on my right. The next set, I want you to come on my left. Now, the first set is for those who want to say, Father, I have received your Spirit in the past, but I have taken you for granted. Please send a refresher of the Spirit in my heart. Then I want, as we sing a song, we are going to sing very soon. Please just come and stay on my right. Those that are coming on the left are those that want to say, Father, I have never truly experienced your Spirit. Baptize me and me with your Spirit. Send your Holy Spirit to me. Perhaps you have been baptized by water, but you have never felt the baptism of the Spirit. Maybe the Holy Ghost has never been real in your life. You have just spoken about it with your mouth, but you have never truly experienced the gift of the Spirit. You want to say, Father, I want to receive the Holy Spirit. But I want you to know that if you are coming on my left, you must be careful if you are coming there. Because when you ask for the Holy Spirit can begin to do strange things in your life. But I want us to sing, Baptize us anew with power from on high. And as we sing this song, after the first verse, I want this two group of people to come out. If you don't have to come out, if you know that you are born again, you are spirit filled, heaven bound, no problem, please. Just pray for this group of people that are coming out today. Of worship. I want us to sing this song now. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is not far away. We don't have to shout until he comes. We don't have to force him before he will come on us. He is ever here. And as you sing this song, I want you to open your hearts to receive the Spirit of God. Whether you're receiving it afresh, or you're receiving him for the first time, you want to say, Father, baptize me with your Spirit. In whichever way, I want you to prayerfully pray in your heart. Just before I start to pray, I want you to pray as we sing this song. There's a sweet, sweet Spirit. Thank you. Holy Spirit, we cannot just rush away from His presence. And I feel that in this place today, the Spirit of God is about to turn the light around for good. Someone is about to receive the Spirit today in such measure that you have never received them in the past. Therefore, when someone in this place today, the Spirit of God wants to become real. The Spirit of God wants to become tangible. The Spirit of God wants to come into control. When you are operated by your power, or perhaps you have succeeded, but today you want to start operating by supernatural power. So let me ask you today, is there someone ready to receive the Spirit in this place today? Father, we bless your name. Thank you because, Lord, there is someone here today saying, baptize me with the Spirit. There is a heart that is yearning for more of God in this place today. There is a soul that is crying out, Lord, rest on earth as thou art passing. Do not pass me by. Someone came today not expecting this. But thank you, mighty God, because you have boycotted our plans. Thank you for adopting our presumptions. Thank you for what you are about to do. So, Father, I pray that for every heart that is looking up in faith at this time, Lord, I pray, let there be the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, someone is here and they have given their lives to you before. They have received the Spirit before, but Lord, we have strayed away, we have slept like the five, like the 10 virgins. Lord, today I pray for everyone on my right, saying, Father, baptize me anew. Lord, I pray that they will experience the freshness of the Spirit in their lives today. I pray for those on my left who are saying, Father, I want this to be real in my life. I want to truly know that the Spirit of God is a tangible person. I want to feel the Spirit in my life and in my ministry. In my walk with you, I want to feel the Spirit of God to bring me the assurance of salvation, to sanctify me on a daily basis, to give me the assurance of glorification and justification. Lord, upon such souls today, I pray that you may pour out your Holy Spirit. Spirit divine, we thank you because you are ever willing. We thank you because for every heart seeking you today, for your word says, how much more will you, our Heavenly Father, Lord, give the Holy Spirit when we ask? So much do we are asking in faith. Baptize us all with the Holy Spirit. I pray that everyone will go away today, know that indeed we have received the Spirit of God. Let Him be our comforter. Let Him be our counselor. Let Him be our connector. Oh, let Him be the one that will convince us of our sins. The one that will assure us that we are coming again. The one that will stand by us, letting us know that we can make it through what we are going through. Blessed be your holy name. Oh, as we go into an untried week, thank you because now that we have received the Spirit anew, Father Lord, we have power to face our mountains. Power to pull down our strongholds. Blessed be your holy name. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray.
Amen.
Let the living water